Luke chapter 5.
Praise God.
You have your Bibles. Amen. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, I love this, follow me. Hallelujah. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said to them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I came to call the righteous, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.
Yes.
To repentance. Thank you for standing today for the reading of the word of the Lord. And if God would help us for just a few moments.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen. I'd like to get to that here if I could do it any justice at all. Follow me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus is still in the business of making followers, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but he wants us to follow him, Brother George, because we are to go out and get others to follow him also.
Right.
Brother George made a profound statement here a week or two or three ago, and he said, sheep beget sheep, and that's where sheep come from. Sheep come from sheep, don't they?
Yeah.
Amen. And it's up to us to go out, amen, to the highways and to the byways, to the hedges, to compel them to come in, amen. It's up to us to get a burden to get a burden for others, especially sinners, for them to come follow the Lord. Hallelujah.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I want my life to be an influence on someone else, don't you?
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. So praise God. Did you know that you can influence others in your life? I want to let you know that you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a songwriter. You don't have to be a song leader. You don't have to be a talented person. But your life can influence others that you're around.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
An experiment, I wanted to read this to you, that was conducted many years ago, involved the effects of music on people. They took a hidden camera and positioned it in a line of people getting their lunch in the cafeteria. First, they played soft, soothing music, and the line floated along in this easy-go fashion. People just hung out there in the line. It's just they weren't in a hurry. And then they changed the music to marching music, and it was amazing to see the drastic change, how the people sped through line, had that marching, you know, hurry-up type music. Amen.
Yeah.
Music changes people. That different music, it'll change. You might have heard Brother Tommy do real good in the past about the dangers of rock and roll music, how that it has a spirit behind it. And I never listened to rock and roll music, but back years ago, you know, he got into way more depths than I even knew about that type stuff, that blood, you know, it's a spirit behind it, isn't it?
Right.
Amen. And music definitely has a spirit with it, and it changes the dynamic in the room. I've been in rooms before where there's no music going on, you know, you just feel like, and then you get music in the house, and you feel like worship, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. It's the spirit behind it. Praise God. Amen. And, you know, some people in life, I've said this in the past, I want to maybe drive this home right here. Amen. Some people in this house right here in this room today, you're one of two things. You're either a thermometer or you're a thermostat.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what a thermometer is?
Yeah.
We don't really have a thermometer, I don't think, in here. I should have brought one. But up here, built into this thing, I go by and look at it time to time to see what the temperature is. And a thermometer just proclaims the temperature that's in the room.
Right.
Amen. And the temperature fluctuates so bad in here. I noticed when we first come in, it was cool, but I didn't turn the heat on. You know why? Because you get about 30 or 40 people in here, and the house heats up.
Right.
And the thermometer goes from 60, I think it was 65 earlier. And just out of curiosity, let's see what it is now. Guess what? It's 70 degrees. So it's went from 65 by the time everybody got in here.
Yeah.
And now it's 70 degrees. The thermometer, it just goes with the flow. Amen.
Right.
The thermometer just tells you what the atmosphere, amen, in the room is. Praise God. But a thermostat sets the temperature.
Woo.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life just easy, just floating around. Hey, get around this crowd and believe what they believe and get around that crowd and do what they do. No, I want to be a thermostat. I want to set the temperature in my life. I want to establish what I believe. I want to establish what the Word of God says is true. And I want, and praise God. You know what a thermostat does? And if you got that thing set on 70 and it gets down to 69 and it's the heat's on, you know what it'll do? That thermostat will kick that furnace on, Brother George.
Yeah.
And it'll heat that back up to 70 degrees. Or vice versa, if it gets hot in here. Amen. Maybe I ought to put it on cool for me and Sister Claire here in a minute. Amen. And if it's on 70 and it gets up to 71, it'll click and it'll bring it on back down to 70. Hallelujah. Amen. It sets the tone. Amen. It sets the temperature. Praise God. Jesus said, Matthew, why don't you come and follow me? Amen.
Right.
I don't know about you here today, but I want my life to be a thermostat. Amen. I don't just want to go with the flow and do what everybody else does. I want to do what thus saith the word of the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew, Levi, why don't you come and follow me? Praise God. Jesus went forth and he encountered this publican, a tax collector, Levi or Matthew. Amen. At the tax booth here at the receipt of custom. I want you to notice this. Just teach you a little bit of history that I learned. It was interesting to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Most people in this state had two to three names. A Jewish name, a Roman name, a Greek name. Levi was his Jewish name. Matthew was his Roman name. Hallelujah. And these tax booths were usually located at the edge of town. Amen. And they were there to collect the money. Praise God. Amen. So right here at this tax booth was in Capernaum, which was on the trade route from Damascus to Galilee. Amen. There by the Mediterranean Sea. And his people would come, and they would sell their fish, and they would sell different things. He was there to take the tax, amen, the money, if you will,
right.
Amen, from what these people were selling. Hallelujah. Amen. They paid their taxes. Hallelujah. It was his job to collect the taxes for Rome, and he was thus despised by the Jews. Amen. He would take his money from the, amen, and he'd have to answer to the Roman government, and that's why tax collectors were so despised. That's why tax collectors were so hated in this day, because if they could squeeze a little bit more out of you, it was money in their pocket. Hallelujah. Amen. So tax collectors weren't very, amen, like people in this day. Amen. But Jesus approaches Levi at the tax booth and he says, hey, buddy, why don't you come and follow me? Hallelujah. Oh, I come to tell you something very important today. I come to tell you something very uplifting today. He's still calling men and women to follow him. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. He's still saying that same old thing today. Hallelujah. Psalm 16 and 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. How about black preaching here? Matthew has presented this opportunity here. What will you do, Matthew? Will you laugh at it? Amen. Will you mock at it? Here I am, a tax collector, a man of my status, and you're asking me to follow you? Well, something great happened that day. He didn't mock at it. How many times have I made an altar call as just a measly old preacher and I'd say, would you like to follow the Lord? Would you like to change your way of living and come and follow Jesus? Oh, more times than not, I've been turned away. More times than not, Brother George, they turned that invitation away. And they said, I'd rather keep on living the same way I'm living. But this day, a man by the name of Levi, he got a hold of it. Hallelujah. And he said, you know what? I think I'll take you up on that. Amen. I think I'll take you up on that invitation. I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you. Hallelujah. I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost here. Jesus wanted the people to understand that being the disciple demanded their whole life. Amen. Not just the times, amen, when it's convenient. Not just the times when everything's going right. But when you really follow the Lord, you've got to do away with everything else. Hallelujah. Amen. If you wanted to, you could look at it later. But you could go to Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26, and you can read that verse over there when he said, whosoever comes to me that doth not hate his father. When I was younger, I had a problem with this verse. I couldn't understand it. Amen. That doesn't hate his father and hate his mother and hate his brothers and his sisters, he cannot be my disciple. Amen. I remember when I first read the Bible through, I think I was 13 or 14, I come across some of this from the Georgia, and I didn't understand. Amen. You know why? Because I thought, wow, I don't want to hate my mom. I don't want to hate my dad. I don't want to hate my family. Amen. But that's not what that verse is saying. He's not saying you got to hate mom and hate dad in a literal sense. But what he's saying is you got to fall in love with God so much that your love for natural folks, amen, your love for your mom and your love for your dad looks like hate compared to the love that you have for God. Let me tell you something. Amen. That'll change your life right there. You don't have to literally hate your mom and dad, but you got to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house to tell somebody, if you really love him like you should, he'll change your life. If you really fall in love with him like you should, hey, amen. The Bible said, amen, when a man meets a woman and he gets married, and they twain shall become one flesh. Praise God. Woo! Man, I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. They leave moms and dads and they come together in unity. They're no longer two. They're no longer three and four moms and dads and all that. But they come together and they're man and woman and they're together in one. How many times myself did things that she didn't want to do because that's what I wanted to do. How many times I did things that I didn't want to do, but I did them because that's what she wanted to do. Amen. I tell you, I would have fished and hunted a whole lot more down through the years, but I didn't. Amen. Because I had a wife. Amen. Hey. Amen. Things I did. Amen. Because I wanted to. Amen. But hey, I'd rather spend time with her. We're together one now. Amen. Do you not like to hunt no more? No, I love to hunt. Do you not like to fish no more? No, I love to fish. But I love her a whole lot more than anything such as that. Hey, so the love that I used to have for hunting and fishing and riding four-wheelers and doing things that I wanted to do, it looks like hate now compared to the love that I have for that one. Hey, church, that's why folks don't go to church like they should. Hey, man, I'm about to get in trouble here. That's why people aren't faithful to the house of God. Brother Don Ingram, his heart was broke the other day, and he preached about 20 minutes, amen, on the change. Brother Tommy said churches aren't like they were in the 70s. Brother Don Ingram said, he's right down there in Strawberry Plains, just outside of Pigeon Forge. He said, here I am in a hard place. I got to compete with Pigeon Forge. He said, on Sundays, my people should be in church, but they're down in Pigeon Forge. They're down there in entertainment. They're down there in places having a good time when they should be in the house of the Lord. Hey, church, do you know what the problem is? They're not following the Lord like Levi did. They're not following the Lord like Matthew did. He left it all. He left his money. He left his job. He left his family. And he followed the Lord. He said, he's going to be number one in my life. And if he's number one, I'm not preaching against vacations. You don't go on a vacation.
Come on.
Bless him, Lord.
Come on.
Come on, brother.
Holy Lord.
But we vacation every week nowadays, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, I'm not against the vacation. As a matter of fact, Brother George, I'm getting excited to maybe go to Lake Erie. Hey, amen. We need to get us a trip. Hey, amen. I tell you something I love to do. I really do. I love to go up there and catch them walleye. Hey, amen. That Lake Erie blue water, beautiful. I just love it. I really do. And there ain't a thing in the world wrong with a couple of us going up there and catching fish for 2 or 3 days and coming home. Hey, amen. Hey, the great God. Hey, amen. I tell you what would be wrong, Brother Connie, if I got to doing that over and over and over. Hey, amen. And then Sunday come around. Where's Brother Jason? I'm at Lake Erie. Next Sunday roll around. Where's Brother Jason? I'm on Lake Erie. Next Sunday roll around. Whatever. I tell you, you know what that would indicate? I lost my love for the one I was following. Now I'm following something different. Hey, church, I'm not in left field somewhere. Hey, we got to fall in love with God so much that everything else looks like hate. Amen.
Yes, God.
Many people don't follow the Lord because, amen, they want to lead. It wasn't always Brother Buzzard said. Brother Buzzard said, amen, he's an Indian, 3/4 Indian, Cherokee Indian. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Everybody wants to be a boss, didn't you notice that? Everybody knows the best way to do things. Oh, yes. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. But her heart sank when she read the question on the application. Are you a leader or are you a follower? Amen. Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, no, I am not a leader. And she returned her application in, expecting the worst, figuring that they wanted folks that were leaders. To her surprise, she received a letter, amen, from the incoming freshman class and said, dear applicant, a study of the application forms has been revealed that this year, our college entry class will have 1,452 leaders. Amen. And we have accepted your application because we have decided that we need at least one follower. Hallelujah. Woo! Out of 1,453 applications, only one girl said, I'm willing to follow. Hallelujah. I'm willing to follow, Lord. Oh, I'm preaching today. Anybody in this house like to follow the Lord? Anybody in this house like to lay your heart down and lay your life down and say, God, I want to follow you, Lord. Wherever you lead, I'll go. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. If you want me to sweep the floors, I'll sweep the floors. If you want me to clean the bathroom, amen, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll follow.
Yes, God.
I feel the Holy Ghost in this house.
Holy.
Woo! So the next point I must make, and the Bible said in verse 28, and he left all, and he rose up, and he followed the Lord.
Yes.
Woo! This means to abandon or to forsake. This is the same word used to describe a person that leaves everything when they pass from this life. Literally, die. They leave everything behind. It's also used, I didn't know this, by sailors who sail past a place. Amen. When you're on a large ship, there's only certain places you can stop. And when you sail past that port, amen, you know what you say? I'm abandoned. Amen. And I'm moving on. I'm following on. Hallelujah. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Lord, I forsook all. I forsook the world. I forsook the honky-tonks. I forsook the bars. I forsook the places of amusement. And I said, Lord, I'll give you my life. Hallelujah. I could be a tax collector. My pockets were full. I had plenty of money. But I'd rather follow you. Would you rather follow the Lord, or would you rather have a prestigious job? Is there anything, is there something wrong, Brother Jason, if I have a good job and if I make a lot of money? No, A thousand times no. Can a person make a lot of money and have a good job and still follow Jesus? Yes, he sure can. But most of the time, he follows the job. Most of the time, he follows the money. Most of the time, he'd rather go the way of that instead of following the Lord. I come to tell you here today, I'd rather have poverty. I'd rather have nothing in this life and have Jesus than to have everything and not have the Lord. I come to tell you today, who are you following? What are you following after?
Thank you, Lord. Holy, holy God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Solomon once was the wisest and wealthiest man to ever live. And he made it clear that money cannot satisfy. Did you hear me?
That's right.
It cannot bring happiness. I know we have a false perception of what money does.
Come on.
And I know money can buy you a boat and you can go out and have fun. But guess what? Amen. It'll get to a place. And I'm just using that for example. I don't know why I always say that. He ain't nothing wrong with the boat. Amen. Money can buy. If you got enough money, you can go out and buy you a sports car.
Yeah.
You're going to buy you a Corvette. I've seen a lot of mid-aged men go out. Amen. Buy them a sports car, man. Put the top back. Woo! Have a good time. Can money buy that? Oh, yeah. Is that a lot of fun? I don't know. I don't have one. Amen. Is that a lot of fun to do? I don't know. But what I'm telling you is that kind of fun runs out. That kind of fun runs out. What runs out? Oh, yes. But Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. Amen. This is also vain. You want more and you get more, you won't be satisfied. He that seeketh silver, amen, won't be satisfied with silver. Go ask that man that saw his first million and he wasn't happy, and he saw his second million and he wasn't happy. Hey, there several years ago, I got on the kick. I was researching Hollywood stars. Amen. And Hollywood star after Hollywood star had committed suicide. And millions of dollars that was on the televisions from east to west, coast in this country. But they were killing themselves. Why? Because silver don't satisfy. Why? Because the abundance, amen, the increase of abundance, it don't satisfy. What satisfies? I believe only Levi would say, I not found some Monday when my pockets were full of money and I had all that this world could ever offer. But a man came by and his name was Jesus. And he said, Levi, will you follow me? And the Bible said he left all. He quit his job. He left his money. And he said, Lord, I'll follow you. And I come to tell us, amen, Matthew. He left us a book. Amen, St. Matthew. Matthew was a man of God. And he turned his life upside down for Jesus. And he found what happiness really was. What is happiness? Following the Lord.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Amen. Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live.
That's right.
Amen. This happens. Oh, yes. Most people in America today don't realize just how rich they are. Amen. And what God has given them.
Right.
Even though they don't have a million or millions or whatever the world says, amen, is when you've arrived and when you've really made it. Amen. But this happens when we fail to count our blessings of what we really have. Amen. I want you to study. Go home and look up. It's easy to find the story of the rich young ruler. He said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to tear down my old barns. And I'm going to build greater barns. Amen. I'm going to look at myself and say, self, thou hast enough laid up for today and for many years. Brother Georgie is rich. He had a lot. Amen. I never realized realize this, but I read this, amen, come across this, this stirred my heart. But listen to this. No matter how much Jesus called him a rich young ruler, he had enough money, he had enough possessions to last for years to come.
Right.
Amen. Oh, but no matter how much wealth he had, he never could ride in a car because there was no cars then. Amen. No matter how much money he had, he couldn't hire the best surgeon and have surgery because there was no surgery. He couldn't turn a light on in his house. When he got sick, he couldn't get penicillin. He had no airplane to fly in. He had no coiled springs to sleep on. Hallelujah. He had no dishwasher to put his dishes in. He couldn't type a letter. He couldn't even mow his lawn. Hey, he couldn't talk on a phone. And I come to tell you, church, every one of you have probably did, if not today or yesterday, all these things that I just mentioned. Hey, I come to ask you today, what are you following after? What are you seeking after? Hey, amen. Oh, we're rich, church. I said we're rich. We got everything we need. With food and raiment, there would be content. Quit searching and seeking and looking for everything in the world to make you happy when what you need is right under your nose. Amen. It's the Lord. It's contentment. Amen. Get happy with what you already have.
Wow, that's so true.
I come to story time and time again, true story, down through the years of that fella, amen, who lived on an old farm he grew up. It was after I got a cousin lives out there. Amen. We went out to see my cousin yesterday, I guess it was. And his wife's grandma, Amber's grandma, she said her mamma, her grandparents lived in that house. It's an old log cabin, Brother George. I'm talking about the logs are starting to rot. And it got more, now I'm talking about the old log cabin. Wow. I think she said that house was, can you remember, 150 years old? Somewhere in that old house. Amen. She sat on that porch and them grandbabies running across that yard. Amen. And Reese said she talked my ear off, Dad. That old lady wouldn't shut up. I said, you know why? She is just happy with the children running in the yard. She is just happy looking out there. Them kids are riding their bikes and scooters. Hey! She ain't got an airplane. She ain't got a fancy automobile. She ain't even got but a 150-year-old log cabin. Hey, that's right. You. I will say this, I did drive away thinking that. And I don't want to be mean here. Hey, amen. I think she told me she is 75, somewhere about 12 or 15 years ago. Hey, amen. Her husband was a successful man. Hey, amen. If I call his name, which I won't, I don't want to run him down. Hey, he pastored that church there for years and years. Hey, amen. He got to running around with some young woman, ran off and left her. Hey, amen. She lives by herself now, up in her 70s. Her husband left her for a young woman. Amen. Thinking the grass was greener on the other side. Amen. I ain't got time to preach that, but I come to tell somebody the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Hey, but I looked at her, Brother George. Amen. Talking about the Lord and her grandparents and church and her grandbabies. And I thought to myself, right there is a happy old lady. Right there is a happy old lady. Possessions, or do you just need the Lord? Matthew, why don't you come and follow me? Hallelujah.
Woo! Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. The first principle that we must identify involves with the identification of proper value. Materialistic possessions compared to spiritual matters will never satisfy.
Right.
Matthew saw the greater value in following Christ than he did with the money that he was making back at the tax collector's table. Can a person make, amen, money and be happy? We already established that. Oh, yes. He can make a lot of money and be happy, but we must understand materialistic possessions do not bring us happiness, but spiritual possessions bring us happiness.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Number two. Let's move on here. I'm just about done. I don't want to be like that old feller, and I'm not talking about him at all. He's a good preacher. And I don't like to talk about preachers. Amen. But after an hour and a half, I was done. Brother George. Woo! If I ever get to preaching too long, I want somebody to at least let me know, hey, brother, amen, you did pretty good. But next time, shorten that down a little. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't think there's a chance of me preaching an hour and a half. I'll never have voice to preach that long. Great God. Amen. But principle number two. Amen. We must listen to this. Amen. Take advantage of present opportunities. It involves not making excuses for never doing anything. Matthew, Levi, if you will. Amen. Could have missed his opportunity. He could have said, Lord, I'm busy today making money. As a matter of fact, this is one of the busiest seasons that I have. Come back in a month or two. Come back after April 15th. Come back after Uncle Sam's calls the deadline. Come back and say, hey, will you follow me? He could have said, Lord, I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life. No, but he saw the value of the present day opportunity. Hey, church, don't put it off. Don't wait. There's opportunity today. I said there's opportunity in doing something for the Lord today.
Yes, God.
Amen.
I got sidetracked telling you about that man who had a farm. Like the whole Dana was her name. I said, Will, my cousin Will's great grandmother-in-law. Raised up on that old farm from what best I remember that story. And just always wanted, had a desire in her heart to be rich. I want to be rich. They heard of diamonds, you know. Back years ago, they had the gold rush, the 49ers, you know, back in 49. They swept across the country going to California to get strike gold, you know, become rich. People have always sought riches. People have always thought gold and money's going to make them happy. But guess what? This person said, man, they had heard where their diamonds were, and they found a buyer for their farm, and they sold everything. Amen. Built their land and their farm to take that money. Brother George and Puffett put it all on finding diamonds. Hallelujah. Woo! And that's what they did. They sold their farm, and they went and they spent all their money until they were broke. And never found no diamonds. But that old timer that bought the farm was out there plowing the ground one day. Amen, plowing the garden. Amen, struck a big shiny rock. And he thought, man, I've never seen a pretty rock like that before. And he carried it down and washed it off and put it on the mantle over his fireplace in that old farmhouse. And years had went by, and then somebody important in his family came by and said, Uncle so-and-so, what in the world? Where in the world did you find such a diamond as that? And his uncle said, well, is that a diamond? And he said, oh, amen. And it later became known as one of the largest diamonds ever known to men. True story. Hey, he said, I was out there in the garden plowing one day and hit that. Oh, amen. He got in connections with the right people, and they dug down and found one of the largest diamond mines ever known to this day. Amen. One was seeking diamonds, and what they needed was right there, but they left to find something else. Hey, I come to tell us, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Are you going to follow the Lord? Are you going to seek the earth's ends? Looking for diamonds, looking for happiness, when what you need is right there where it's always been. Amen. Levi, will you follow me?
Yes.
I feel the Holy Ghost.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord. Feel the Holy Ghost. Matthew saw all the opportunity presented to him. Let me tell you something. I'm not telling you that you'll only ever get one opportunity in your life. But sometimes opportunities only come one time.
You're right.
Hey, how many times will the Lord give somebody an opportunity to be saved? I don't know. I'm not God. But I know he will give one time. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that no man or woman has ever lived upon the face of this earth that they didn't get an opportunity to be saved.
Right.
My mom's dad, Skeets, they called him. His name was Daniel Souders. I don't know why everybody called him Skeets. Amen. My dad said, as far as I know, Skeets never stepped foot in the church in all his life. My Aunt Shirley, as far as I know, which would have been his daughter, my mom's sister. Only, as far as I know, the only time she's ever stepped foot in the church is right to the doors right there. She came to see me several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I said, we had to come by to do something here at the church. And they was out there in the corner. I said, why don't you come in and look around the church here? And she said, I'm serious about it, George. She walked in the doors. She bent down. She'd never been in a church. in all of our life. Amen. Oh, God.
Yes.
Ooh. Amen. Oh, but I know this. Old Skeets went down to Gilbert one day, and he got to drilling my Uncle Larry, who's still alive, still pastor of the church I grew up in today. Been there 38 or 39 years. Amen. And my papa, Old Skeets, got to asking Larry about the Bible. What's the Bible saying about this? What's the Bible? Amen. Hey, I don't know exactly what happened. I wasn't there, but I believe that was the Lord talking to my papa Skeets. Hey, how many times is opportunity going to come your way? I don't know, but Matthew said, if I don't take that opportunity that the Lord give me today, he may never come by again. If Matthew hadn't followed the Lord that day, he'd have never probably wrote the book of Matthew. His life had never been changed. He'd have never followed the Lord. You got to take advantage of the opportunities the Lord gives you. Amen.
Yes, God.
That's right.
Because he might be gone tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord.
Raise your hand, ask the Lord to help you. I got a lot of thoughts on my mind on what the Lord has directed here in the last few minutes. Lord, help us today. Lord, you know I just want to help a soul here. I just want to help somebody. And my soul desires to help, to help, to help. Lord, is there anybody in here like to follow you? That opportunity might be gone tomorrow. I better take him up on it today. Why? Because there might be a disability. You might get sick. You might get hurt. Hey, amen. There's something might happen, and you might not be able to tomorrow.
Amen. Right.
What I desire. Lord. Brother Don Rich tells about that guy who the Lord called to evangelize. Amen. I have never felt called to evangelize. I enjoy getting out preaching. I enjoy going preaching for folks. But I told Michelle before, I can't remember, maybe before we had kids, or we just had one or two kids, and we'd get up preaching a little bit. I just never felt like I told her years ago, but long before we ever passed the church, I said, God, I'm a pastor, amen. I got it in my heart to be a pastor. I don't have it in my heart to travel all over the country preaching, amen. Now, the Lord might change that one day. I don't know, amen. But one thing I do know, I got it in my heart, amen, to preach the Word of God, amen, and pastor, hallelujah. I got a pastor's heart. Oh, amen, desire might change. That old fellow that had a desire to go preach, and he told Brother Rich, he said, when I was a young man, I said, Lord, I got small children and I can't go preach. Wait, can I get my children up? Amen. For being so small, then I'll preach. And by then, he had worked a job 12 or 15 years. It was a good job, and he, amen, and he felt that call again. Man, you got your kids up. Why don't you go preach? And he said, no. Now I got 15 years tied up in my job, and I'll lose my retirement. Let me work another 15 years. So this man ended up putting God off 30 years. His children were gone. He retired the job. Amen. And he came to Brother Don Rich, and he said, do you think the Lord could use me now? I don't have a desire to even preach. I don't have a desire to evangelize. You better do it today. You don't know what your desire might be tomorrow. Hey, death might come. You might die before you get another opportunity. Don't put it off. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house to tell us difficulties of life, amen, might come in. Amen. Lord, help us today to realize we better make a conscientious, amen, decision to follow the Lord today.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Lord. God used Matthew to pen one of the four Gospels. Matthew was used by the Lord to portray the Lord Jesus Christ as King of the Jews.
Yes.
He's been honored by being the first book of the New Testament. And after the death of Christ, historians state that Matthew went to Ethiopia to preach the Gospel. Historians also state that he was martyred for Christ and possibly killed by a spear. And the details of his death may be cloudy, but his present location is clear. Whew. He was with the Lord.
Right.
Matthew, will you follow me? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I believe Sister Mary, when his hair was gray and his eyes were dim, and he was sitting around telling his grandbabies, hey, amen, probably didn't have us, Brother George. Amen. Paul didn't have nothing. He called and he said, told Timothy, he said, won't you bring my books and my cloak? He was down to a coat and a sack full of books. He didn't have nothing, Brother Tommy. And he was getting ready to go to Rome to stand before Nero. And they put him down in that Mamertine. And he didn't have nothing. Wouldn't that be bad to get down to the place? All you had was a sack full of books and a coat on your back. Matthew, maybe years later, he didn't have much. Maybe he lived in a little shack across the creek. He been telling his grandbabies, there was a time I had plenty of money. There was a time, amen, my pockets were full, but all the Jews hated me. Amen. What'd you do, Papa? I said, at the receipt of custom. I sat there in Capernaum. I was right there, and I took their money when they came and sold the produce and sold the fish that came right out of the sea. Hey, I had plenty of money. What happened, Papa? I made the best decision I ever made. The Lord came a walking by. Jesus came. And he said, Levi, will you follow me? And he said, I looked at the Lord and I looked at my money. I looked at the Lord and I thought about my job. I thought it all over. And I said, Lord, I'll follow you. And he left all and he followed the Lord. And he told his grandladies, it's the best decision that I ever made. I wrote the Bible. I preached the gospel. I've seen sinners saved. I've lived a life, amen, greater than a millionaire, and I followed the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glad I'm done. Praise God.
Stand with me, I'm done.
Glad, Lord, glad. Holy, holy.
Thank you, bless
Jesus.
Thank you, mighty.
I really felt, I preached like Brother Don Egan for years. I've told this church, that's been my, this hindered me and aggravated me more than anything. You get folks help. And I say things a lot of times. So there ain't a thing I can do to help you. There ain't a thing Jason can do. But if the Lord will come in and anoint me to preach and anoint me to say that, that's what he does. I am the pastor of the church.
Right.
So if God would anoint me sometimes through him, amen, I can help others.
Right.
Amen. But I've seen folks get help, and I've seen the Lord help, and I've seen God do something for folks' lives, and then you don't see them for a month of Sundays.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
And then you can't get up.
Holy Lord.
And then you're fighting the devil again.
Come on.
And then the least we can do, if the Lord saved us and God has done all that he's done for us, is go to his house.
Right. Come on.
That's the least you can do.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And I've never been able to drive that home right here, 1163 Jackson Avenue. There's people that should be in this church right now today that are not here. Amen. But they could be here. They should be here.
Right.
Come on, brother.
Right. Yep.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless him.
I tell you what, church.
Bless him, Jesus.
If I never do anything in life, I better learn to follow the Lord.
Amen.
All my heart.
That's it.
All my heart. So I listened to Brother Don Ingram. It was the first morning we was there, Friday morning. Friday morning. Old Brother Finley preached about an hour and a half. And I didn't think he was going to have preaching after that. But no, they said, come on, Brother Don. So Brother Don got up and he said, give me 20 minutes. And I think he preached 20 minutes. And it touched my heart. I felt the yearning in his heart. And he said, but something similar to what Brother Tommy said. Brother Tommy said, in this service, the church is saying since the 70s. What year did you get saved?
74.
74. And I wasn't even alive in 74, but I can't imagine what's changed since 74
yes, sir.
To 25.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Yeah.
A lot.
And one major thing is nobody puts a premium on going to the house of God.
Right. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
If we put a premium on going to the house of God, and I'm not saying we got to have barn burner shutdowns every night, but we would.
Yeah.
We'd have to shut her down to get preaching in.
That's the truth.
If people really, really put a premium on God and God's house.
Hallelujah.
I felt the yearning in Brother Don Ingram's voice. He said, man, he said, it's killing us. It's killing our churches. Amen. It's killing us. And he kept saying that. It's killing our churches. Amen. Not putting a premium on going to God's house.
Right.
It's killed the church, Brother Charlie. It's killed the church in America.
Right.
Amen. So Matthew had to make a decision one day. Sister Mary, am I going to follow him? And Jesus wanted to let him know. I ain't got time to re-preach my message. But Jesus wanted to love no brother George. He said, if you're going to follow me, you got to hate mom, you got to hate dad, you got to hate brothers and sisters. You got to hate everybody. In other words, you got to fall in love and be so strong and so great, and you got to want to follow me so much that everything else is so secondary that it looks like hate.
That's right. You're right.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
And if I could get 10 of you in this house right here to do that,
oh,
we'd have a revival by next month.
Yes, sir.
If I could get 10 people in this church to put God so first in your life that everything else is so secondary that it looked like hate, we would have people saved. I've been thinking about all this. I've been debating on this. I've been praying on this. I've been studying on this. And I tell you why, we don't have revival like they had in the 50s and the 60s. We don't follow the Lord like we did then.
You're right.
He's not premium and primary in our life then. You know, everything else is first today.
Come on.
Sorry, brother Carson, I'm about to spit on you. Everything else is first today.
Yeah, Lord. Jesus.
That's right, bro.
Jesus.
And then people want to get up and say, they really used to have church back in the 50s and 70s. They used to really have churches. They used to really have church in the age. People used to really be on fire.
Yeah,
and they followed the Lord then, too.
You're right, sir.
They wouldn't miss church unless it was, they really had to.
That's time
you got one vacation. I understand that. You get sick, I understand that.
Come on.
People don't put a premium on God and follow God and God's house anymore.
Yeah.
Are you going to follow Him? I don't want you to reduce this whole message down to this one point. I'm just trying to drive this point home because in 15 years I haven't been able to drive this point home. Hey, I'm not being mean. I really ain't. But in the Church of God, which went liberal nowadays, went pretty worldly. In the Church of God, if you weren't faithful to the church and you weren't faithful to come to church, you didn't get in that pulpit right there. You didn't play an instrument. You didn't sing a song. You don't teach a Sunday school class. You go to church.
Right.
You don't play a major leadership role in the church.
You're right.
So true. Amen. And nowadays, it's hard for us to do that because we wouldn't have anybody do anything.
Bless you. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yes, God.
If I could just talk to somebody, pray for me, sister. If I could just talk to somebody in the foot of the Lord first in here, will you follow me?
Come on.
I just want you to know what was at stake for Levi that day. I want you to know what was at stake for him. It ain't too late, man. I ain't even got to an hour yet. Great God.
Jesus.
Well, roll your eyes at me.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
He said, Levi, will you follow me? I want you to know what he had at stake. His whole life was at stake, brother.
Man.
His money, his job, his possessions. He had no doubt he had big houses and land. And they didn't have cars. But to find some horses and chariots. Whatever they had there, brother George, Levi had the best.
That's right.
Because he had lots of money.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And he said, Lord, I think I'll follow you.
Thank you.
And the Bible said he left all.
Left all.
Oh,
holy God. It's worth it.
Man, I feel the Lord.
It's worth it.
Are you willing to leave all? Are you willing to be made fun of? They've made fun of me. They've talked about me. Hey, you think I care about that one of these days when I get to glimpse into the beautiful splendors of heaven?
Yes. Right.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. All the heartache and all the trouble and all the aggravation you'll ever go through in this life will be worth it one of these days.
Right. Yes, it will.
Can you imagine when Levi came to the gate and he heard the Lord say, well done.
Well done.
Thou good and faithful servant. Oh, Brother Bridges is still alive. I've told you. I'm going to tell this and quit here. Neil Bridges is still alive, but he died back. Brother Leon Buzzard had just died. I can't remember. I could probably look it up. 10, 12, 15 years ago, Brother Leon Buzzard, great Holy Spirit preacher, died. And Brother Buzzard had bad sugar diabetes. They cut one, maybe two legs off. I think one of these eyes they had to take had sugar diabetes. It really just destroyed him. And he died, Brother George. Amen. And he went to heaven. Good. How do you know that? Brother Neil Bridges had a heart attack or something to the effect, and he was in the hospital, and they was just shocking him, buddy. And he had died. And Neil Bridges said, I went to heaven. He said, I went through the pearly gates. He said, just before he went into the gates, he said, there was Neil Bridges, and Neil Bridges jumped up, This is Brother Leon's favorite. He always he preached, and he'd say, "Sweet Lamb of God." And he said, "Brother Leon, Buzzard jumped up there at the gate, and he said, 'Sweet Lamb of God, if it ain't Bill Bridges.'" Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. They made fun of old Brother Buzzard. They kicked him out of a church out there in Oklahoma. He got to preaching so hard to holiness, they kicked him out. He didn't have nowhere to go. Well, let me tell you something.
Hallelujah.
I believe 2 seconds after this life, he said, "Man, it was worth every persecution I ever went through. It was worth every time they made fun of me for preaching holiness. It was worth every time they kicked me out." They kicked him out 2 or 3 churches and said, "We don't want preaching like that around here." And he really lived a hard life. He was a hardcore holiness preacher.
Right.
He lived, you know, they just kicked him out everywhere he went. Anytime he come around here preaching, I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. If you got a good holiness heart and you live right, amen, holiness preacher won't make you mad. Amen. It won't make you mad. Glory to God. Brother Kevin Lloyd preached Friday night. Man, he preached on holiness. I was coming home yesterday, and Brother Randy Webb called me. I'm rambling here. I got to give us an altar call.
Come on.
And I got you on your feet. But here's Brother Randy said, "Man," he said, "I wanted to cry last night." He said, "Hey, Brother Randy," he said, "what'd you think about that?" I said, "Man, I love that." Brother Kevin Lloyd preached on holiness, and he preached on our appearance, and he preached on our attitudes. And he covered holiness from top to bottom. It was wonderful. And I told Brother Randy, I said, "I heard that crowd, they was getting saying amen pretty good." I said, "Till there at the end, he was mentioning several pretty rough things." I said, "And the amen's died out."
Yeah.
And he said, Brother Randy said, he said, "Man," I said, "where my heart was broke." He said, "I almost cried." He said, "I looked over from where I was sitting." He said, "There was a preacher brother there that used to preach what he preached." He said, "He used to believe what he was preaching." He said, "He believed every bit of it." He said, "And I see him." He said, "Get up." He said, "And I thought, well, he's going to bolt for the door. He's leaving." He said, "There was a time he had never thought leaving on holiness preaching." Brother Randy said, "It broke my heart so much." He said, "I finally told myself, if he gets up to bolt for that door, I'm going to meet him in that aisle. And I'm going to say, 'Hey, brother, there was a time you believed that. There was a time you said amen to that.'" But he said he stayed right there. He didn't leave. He said, "But I thought he said 2 or 3 times I walked and he's getting ready to leave."
Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Follow me. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
In this house, pray for me, church. Pray for me. It's time to pray now. It's time to pray. I preached my guts. I preached my burden. I preached my heart. I preached everything I can preach you today. Are you going to follow the Lord? Follow him. Sing, girls. Maybe you can get a desire to pray here. Music, amen. Come on.
Jesus.
Are you interested in following him? Are you just going to be half in, half out? Some here, some there. Levi had to give it all up. He had to give his job up. He had to give his way of life up. And he said, "Lord, wherever you go, I'll go. Amen. Wherever you take me, Lord, I'll follow." Come on, church. Come on, church. Let's pray here today.
Thank you.
away. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us, but he'll go all the way. Even until the end of the world. Praise God.